I'm Steve Potter, and this is Cityscape. Next Saturday, April the 5th, Washington University's Booter Center for American Indian Studies will host its 24th annual powwow. This year's theme is Education, Balance, and All We Learn. Joining us now, WashU student and powwow co-chair, Wynette Whitegoat, and the program manager for WashU Center for American Indian Studies, Pete Kozer. Hi, welcome to Cityscape, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Wynette, I understand that this event attracts Native American people from not only the St. Louis area, but I guess from all over, does it?
Yes, it does. Most of the people who attend are from the Native community, and we attract people from the St. Louis community just to share a lot of the culture that we embrace during the time of the event. So everyone's welcome.
And powwows are more prolific than I had imagined. There are quite a few of them across the country, aren't there?
Yeah, so, you know, it ranges from everything. I've even saw powwows occurring in Alaska and Hawaii. So, you know, they definitely reach different areas. And historically, your urban cities like St. Louis, they were originally relocation cities. So the Native American families in those cities have actually banded together, created American Indian centers like Chicago or Minneapolis, and they set powwow days and times and celebrate their identity.
Uh-huh. Those of us that don't have any Native American heritage like myself, we know that term powwow, we use it, like we're going to have a powwow. What I mean when I say that is we're going to sit down and talk things out or have a meeting. So I know powwow is a gathering, but does it have a more specific meaning than that?
Right. So the powwow scene is – the powwow itself comes from what I've been told, like the Plains folks, the tribal nations out there, your Lakotas and your Kiowas and kind of up and down the north and southern plains, where you see the structure from now is heavily influenced from the Buffalo Bill Wild West shows. So you have a grand entry and you have a processional and you have honoring of the colors.
And, so it's pageantry.
Right, right. And it gives time for different groups in the arena. For instance, our veterans. Our veterans bring in the colors, Native American veterans who are returning or actually leaving for deployment. So they're honored in that way, and they actually take us out into the arena at that time.
So, Wynette, is this powwow event, is this for American Indian individuals, or is it for someone that doesn't know anything about it to come as well? Or what's it exactly is it designed for?
Like I mentioned before, everyone is welcomed. It's mostly just to honor the history, the culture of all Native peoples. And for those who have never been to a powwow, it's a great way to kind of embrace the history of our people. We come from a strong culture. Our respective tribal cultures are very strong. And it's just a day to socialize, dance, and enjoy each other's company.
It's pretty much an all-day event.
Yes, it
is. So maybe we want to hit some of the highlights? I know you've mentioned a few things. You're talking about the grand entry and that sort of thing.
Right. So, you know, our day, I'm looking at one night here, our day begins at 7 in the morning, and that's prep, you know, preparing the arena, preparing all the vendors to be placed. We will have vendors that will be selling authentic Native American art and crafts. So there's your chance and a great chance to visit these vendors and obtain and buy authentic Native art. And throughout that time, there's what we call the gourd dance. Again, that gives veterans time in the arena. And on their regalia, sometimes you'll see their medallions and the honors they received while in service. Then you have the grand entry, and that's a formal processional. And then kind of contests sprinkled throughout, competition, dancing. So you see the dancers bring their A game, basically. So really good, you know, top-of-the-line dancers you'll see. And, you know, we even honor the little kids. You know, we look upon them as our future, so they're given their time in the arena. And so that's the afternoon, and you basically repeat that for the evening session. And that kind of captures the powwow all day.
I wanted to ask you to clarify something for me. You use the term American Indian mostly in the literature I've read. A lot of people say Native American. So is there a big difference there? Is there a reason that you say American Indian and not Native American?
I prefer Native American, and that was just the term that I was, you know, used to and grew up with. I know on the census it says American Indian. I float between the two, but my preference has always been Native American.
Okay, I didn't know if that was a big deal.
Yeah, it's on the individual, basically. You know, and when we're back in our home communities, we'll, you know, we'll talk about Native folks or something like that. But when on a broader scheme, you know, you talk about tribal nations, tribal citizens. Because at the Brown School, they have to write within a certain form. American Indian is a proper term.
So one isn't offensive, I guess is what I was
getting
at.
Right.
No, they're interchangeable depending on the person.
What can you tell me about the history of the powwow?
So the history, on a broader scale, again, the powwow ranges from different tribes have different celebrations, songs, the dances. You know, they're sometimes very community specific. For instance, the fancy dance that comes from the Ponca people in White Eagle, Oklahoma. And they're the originators of that dance. But since then, since it's made its way into the powwow arena, you know, you see folks from different tribes, including Wynettes. You know, there's a great fancy dancer named Spike Draper that I've seen dance. He's just great. He's awesome. So that's how the powwow carried on. And then, again, because of the influence of the Wild West shows, that's where you see a lot of the formal structures and competition dancing. And then as far as the Booter Centers, you know, this will be our 24th year annual since around the 1990s when it first kicked off. It's a great time, again, because our St. Louis Native community lives in the inner city. They don't get to express where they're from as mm-hmm. much. This also provides a day for them to, I guess, be Indian in an urban setting.
You mentioned the Booter Center there. And so what exactly is the Center for American Indian Studies? I went to a couple of colleges, and I don't ever remember there being one where I was unless I just wasn't aware of it. So how common is that, and what exactly do you do?
So the Booter Center for American Indian Studies was created in the 90s, received an endowment from the Booter family and the foundation, and it's carried on since then. The Booter Center is housed within the Brown School of Social Work. What we do there is academic support. We do some research. We provide mentoring and counseling, and then we do admissions work, which is when I talked to Wynette over a year ago. We are lucky to have her come and join us here in St. Louis. So, you know, we're a cultural support center. A lot of our Native scholars bring many different attributes. Wynette brings her Navajo identity and what she carries to the Booter Center, so that only enhances all of our education and ideas. You know, we do a lot of community outreach. Wynette has ventured out into the community, spoken to classes, and done community events and projects.
Wynette, do you find that people have a good understanding of what it is to be a Native American, those that aren't? Because I would think this would be a really learning experience, because if you don't know anything about it and you grow up watching Hollywood movies,
oh, yes.
you put every Native American maybe into, you know, one big category, and that's not the case.
Well, my experience with kind of meeting and learning about myself through my interactions with others has kind of evolved over my time. I left the reservation at a very young age, so it was definitely a culture shock to interact with someone who really didn't know what a Native American was or who a Native American was mm-hmm. and what that means to an individual. So there are many people who don't really interact, and they definitely have those images.
So what's the biggest misconception that you run into?
Oh, yes. Do you live in teepees? So, you know, like it kind of those stereotypes
really?
Seen from Hollywood movies. I've definitely gotten that that question and various other questions, too, particularly because of mainstream media.
Mm-hmm. Pete, what do you think?
Oh, where do I begin? I've been asked a question about casinos and stuff, and you know,
well, yeah, you're all rich because you're living off the casino, right?
Right, yeah. You know, but you know, a lot of people, again, it's education, and that's one of the mm-hmm. things that we do at the Booter Center, understanding what Indian gaming is and how it actually puts money back into our tribes for tribal services and things like that. whereas some tribes might have allocations, or some tribes don't even have casinos at all. So it's very, very different stories all across the nation.
So this 24th annual powwow is a day, it's of music and traditions, and what else?
Friendship, you know. I think, you know, this is the first, or this is one of the only days where St. Louis folks can come to the athletic field house and be a part of Indian country for one day and see what everything from arts and crafts to food sampling to seeing the dancers and hearing the songs and the difference in those styles. And so it's a very, very impactful day for St. Louis folks.
Washington University's Booter Center for American Indian Studies presents the 24th annual powwow. That's Saturday, April 5th. Doors open at 10 a.m. The grand entry, there are two, one at noon and one at 6 p.m. It's all at the Washington University Fieldhouse. If you go to stlpublicradio.org, to the Cityscape page, you can find out more information. We should remind people it's free and open to the public. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know anything about Native Americans, or even if you do, either way, you're more than welcome to come.
Yes.
One question for you both. What can you share with us about your family's Native American history? I know, Wynette, you said that you actually grew up on a reservation. I don't know if you did, Pete.
Kind of yes and no. It's, again, Oklahoma, I guess, had one classified reservation, the Osages, you know, where it's present, Osage County, but there are tribal jurisdictions. I'm from the Muscogee Creek Nation, which is east central Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. I'm also Choctaw and Chickasaw. So if I didn't say that side, my mom would get after me. So I always have to say Choctaw and Chickasaw, or I'll hear it next week when they visit. But, you know, I grew up, I was born in Tahlequah, the heart of Cherokee Nation. I grew up in Stillwater. So I'm an Oklahoma State Cowboys fan. Fanatic. They hear it all the time when we're in the Booter Center, especially during basketball season.
You hear it too much, Wynette, or?
Yeah.
What are your memories of growing up on a reservation?
Oh, I go there all the time. My family lives there, my mother and my extended family as well. But I grew up in a small town called Pine Springs, Arizona. If you try to Google map it, you probably won't find it. But I also represent another community on the reservation, Fort Defiance, Arizona, and it's beautiful land. I grew up in a beautiful culture. I love where I come from, and I'm very passionate about sharing that with others.
And I might also point out that you've just been in St. Louis since August. So how do you like our Midwest winter so far?
Oh, that's another conversation. I loved it when I came here, but it's just the humidity.
Okay, wait a few weeks.
Yeah.
It'll be fine. It's the annual powwow, the 24th annual powwow at Washington University's Fieldhouse. Again, that's Saturday, April the 5th. We've been talking with Pete Kozer, who's the program manager for the center, and with student Wynette Whitegoat. Thank you all for being here, and have a wonderful event.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mado.
Next week on Cityscape, we're going to talk with comedian Bobcat Goldthwait about his career and his St. Louis performances. You may have heard him recently on NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. And join Don Marsh Monday for St. Louis on the Air. He'll be talking with Manaz Fridi about contemporary issues facing Muslim women. And later, with conservation biologist John Newby about his work in the Sahara Desert. Cityscape is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer, with assistance from Camille Phillips, Aaron Dorr, and Amanda Hunnickfort. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. Cityscape is made possible in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. Cityscape is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. I'm Steve Potter. Thanks for listening.